Welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Alltag and thanks to our supporting partner, Aura. Now, my guest this week is Edward Woodall. Now, Edward is the Government Relations Director at the ACS. Now, responsible for communicating the ACS's policy across Westminster, Whitehall and the devolved nations with civil servants, parliamentarians and external stakeholders. Ed also leads the ShopKind campaign, which brings together over 130 organisations and retail businesses to encourage positive behaviour in shops. So welcome, Ed. Nice to have you back on again.
Good to be back on. Thanks very much. Great to talk to your listeners again.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Now, before we start, I think we have to go back. I use the acronym there, but who is the ACS? And tell me a little bit about and our listeners about the organisation and what you do.
Sure. So ACS, we are the Association of Convenience Stores. So we're the trade associations for local shops across the UK. There's about 48,000 convenience stores across the UK, and wide range of retailers, large and small, operate those sites. And our job, my job, my team's job is to really represent into government around issues that affect them, like crime and like a lot of other regulatory issues. So that's us.
And your bit is particularly about that lobbying aspect, is it? And that's where you fit into the mix?
Exactly, yeah. So we spend lots of time talking to the Home Office, to the Ministry of Justice, but also into parliamentarians around retail crime issues, any regulatory issues, but in particular retail crime issues at the moment with the new crime report. Hence where you see we collect lots of new data, but the whole point of us collecting data is really to inform policymakers around what it means, what action they need to take. So very much about how do we make good public policy, both centrally and for different police forces across the country as well.
So, I mean, you must be one of the connections that you've got, because there are a lot of difficult and sort of challenging organisations to navigate. I guess before we get into the detail, I'm just fascinated. Is it a challenging role, a difficult role, or are all of these big government bodies just open arms and ready to change direction as required?
I'd say it's pretty challenging. There's lots and lots of different stakeholders to talk to all of the time and lots to manage at the same time. But particularly, I think, around crime issues, you know, we should reflect from the last time that we spoke on the podcast, a lot of progress has been made. There's a lot more interest in this issue. So I think my job has got slightly easier in terms of doors being open to talk about the issues that lots of retailers are facing out there. But yeah, as you say, lots of stakeholders to talk to, both within the industry and within government. But we think we're doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, there's definitely some progress been made by some key players. So without a doubt, you can take some credit on that for sure. And before we get into the crime survey, which is both fascinating, I think, as I said before we came on air, terrifying as well in terms of what's there. Just give me an update. ShopKind is an amazing initiative. It had a sort of a big launch, but we still see the posters all around. Is that an ongoing campaign? What's happening with ShopKind at the moment?
Yeah, so ShopKind is definitely still going, and I'm still really pleased to see it everywhere in different shops, and all of our partners still really, really engaged with it. In fact, I was out at the weekend with my family going to a DIY store, and I saw it as I was walking in the entrance, and we sort of can spot them out there all the time. So the campaign continues. In fact, we're coming up to having another ShopKind week, the week commencing the 6th of April. So if everyone can put that in their diary and look to find the ShopKind materials and share them in store, that'd be great. But just a reminder, the ShopKind campaign is really about raising the profile of this problem that we have about violence and abuse against shop workers, but trying to do it in a positive way and really give a message to consumers to be shocked, you know, think about their behaviours in store, encourage positive behaviours in store, acknowledge the great work that retailers and their stores do. And we try and tell that message through the whole year. And hopefully we'll grow our partners more and more as time goes on. And I'm really pleased that we get to do another push of the campaign in May.
Yeah, great news that it's continuing. Because I do genuinely think, I also, maybe every time I see a picture or a poster myself, I should take a photo and send it to you. You can add it to your sort of Facebook page, if you like, of that's me. But it is there, isn't it? And it is in big and large stores. So, and for me personally, maybe it's because I'm aware of it, but it makes you stop and think for sure.
For sure. I hope so. I hope branding and all the messaging is really good and still gets out there. But it has a real serious purpose. It's about a collective voice for industry around something that affects all of us that we're only ever going to be able to overcome if we're working together on that. And I think that common branding out to consumers when they go into all different shops can be really powerful. And I'm really committed to growing it as we go forward. And thank you for your support with promoting the campaign as well.
So no, not at all. Actually, I'm sitting here thinking we need to get an update from you on a platform somewhere about that. But that's a separate conversation. Now, in terms of, you know, what your members are dealing with, the retail landscape in convenience retail, is the crime issue the number one? Are there other challenges that you're navigating? I mean, what's the landscape looking like?
So the landscape for the convenience sector, obviously, we're still a really important stakeholder locally for consumers. They're still using their local shop more often. Top-up shopping, really important for consumers. But we still do have this real challenge with crime in stores, which I think, you know, we're always front of mind of, because operationally for retailers and their colleagues, it's a real serious threat all the time. And I think for customers, it's become much more front of mind, not least because of all the coverage and conversations we're having about it. So that really is, I think, probably one of the biggest challenges. And if there was a convenience retailer on the call right now, it'd be one of the first things they talk about as an operational issue for them and their stores.
So I was fortunate enough to read, you know, the press release and the highlights of the crime report recently. And that was one of the reasons why I got in touch. I thought it was so fascinating and needed sharing as far and wide. But, you know, can you talk us through, you know, the report, how you collect, and then, you know, some of the highlights and things that that you were getting back from members?
Sure. Yeah. So it's our annual crime report. We go out and talk to a wide range of different members. There's about 8,000 businesses or shops represented in the survey sample. So it's a big mix. There's a few different bits of methodologies. We talk to retailers directly. We phone poll about 1,200, and there's some consumer polling in there. So there's a good mix of data to try and sense check everything. And also we have some conversations to try and just quantify everything we pulled together from the data. I think the headlines that really came out this time is that we've seen some big jumps in both the shop theft and the levels of shop theft that are going on, but also, worryingly, also the levels of violence and abuse towards staff, which rings true, I think, with lots of the conversations that I have with retailers out there, both in the convenience sector and outside. It seems like we're on a sort of upward curve of more shop theft and crime going on towards stores. And I think everyone's kind of grappling at what's driving that, what's happening. So I think one of the headline findings this year was a big jump in the level of shop theft. So it was 5.6 million incidents reported in the survey, which is huge. It's a much bigger jump than last year. It was about 1.1 million reported. So we've gone up on a big jump, but also retailers' experience of it, because sometimes they don't detect all of them, but it's around perception. So we have an index and we ask people, has your experience of shop theft increased or decreased? And actually it's gone to the highest level we've ever recorded. And bear in mind, Paul, we've been recording this for over a decade in terms of their experience. So it really has shot up in the last 2 years. So from about summer 2021 onwards, we've seen that continue to drive up.
Yeah, and I do wonder whether, you know, we've got the big commercial, the big brands that have also experienced this, but they've had the resources to make investment and put meet and greet on and extra security guards. I do wonder whether the convenience sector has maybe, you know, been the brunt of the recipient of that displacement, if you like. It's not gone from society. It's maybe just moved to the convenience sector. I mean, is there any anecdotal or evidence of that coming out?
Yeah, I think there's always, where we trade as the convenience sector is generally in secondary locations. We're not on high streets. Most of us are in secondary locations. And that actually means we're away from some of the infrastructure that you might traditionally see on high streets. That's, you know, street size, CCTV, business improvement districts, business crime reduction partnerships. So when there's a big effort and push in those places, we do see some displacement into convenience, into those second areas. So I think that's part of the story. I think in reality, the other part of it is that actually the people that were stealing from us before, prolific offenders with drug addiction issues or other issues that they're going through, are just having to steal more to sustain their lives and support that addiction. And that's probably been the biggest driving factor that we see from retailers. It's those prolific people, prolific offenders having to steal more than they were before, and us not really having a way of managing that and probably getting the information and data to the police for them to be able to respond and have the resources to respond. So yeah, I think displacement's one factor, but I think actually if you talk to the retailers, they're saying it's the similar people having to do more.
And yeah, we look at that, and that's one of the figures that sort of jumped out to me was it's something like 75,000-76,000 incidents of violence recorded against people working in the sector, and they're just the recorded ones. 87% of people, I'm just glancing down, you know, experience verbal abuse. I mean, that's just astronomical figures. I mean, you know, it's hard to fathom those sort of numbers, and that's just the ones that you're getting. I mean, you know, where do we go from here with that, and what happens?
Yeah, I think you're so right. I mean, it's really worrying to see those figures. And I just think to connect the two, there is a really strong correlation between that rise in shop theft and the rise in violence and abuse, because I think those offenders that I talked about before will use the threats of violence and abuse towards shop workers to be able to get away and intimidate those things. So I think the two are very much connected. And I think the big numbers, the 5.6 million shop theft offences, the 76,000 incidents of violence, we have to think as millions of opportunities to get information to be able to respond well to those things, and try and think of it as, you know, we've got an opportunity to leverage that information to do something positive. And what is a good headline from the report, it is a bit more positive, because obviously all the big figures are very depressing, is just how much retailers are more they are investing. So there's £339 million invested just in the convenience sector in security equipment. But then also when you talk to the retailers about what they're investing in, they're investing in trying to keep their colleagues safe. So to give you some examples, they want to try and make their colleagues feel as connected as possible. So headsets seem to be a really great thing that people are investing in, because you can just say over the headset, so I need some support here. And actually, they're very good for productivity in the stores. Body-worn cameras, those things that give the staff individually some feeling like they have agency to go and get support or feel like that's a backup. And also remote monitored CCTV, things where people can intervene separately and sort of, you know, take it away from direct confrontation between the staff. So those types of investment being made is a real positive. And I think we should, you know, look at ways in which we can make that happen quicker and better, but it is a good outcome at the same time.
But that is a huge investment in you know, in the convenience sector, in terms of, you know, whether that's, you know, wherever that's come from, be it investment from business owners or, you know, drawn down out of profit. That's a big burden on that sector. I mean, I guess in the long term, there's clearly going to be benefits and there should be an uplift in sales and everything that comes with it. But, you know, that's an astronomical number that's been invested.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's huge and it's grown year on year, but it's absolutely essential. And there's no member that is saying they're going to invest less in this space, because right, their colleagues and the protection of their colleagues is the most important thing to retailers, because that's what retail businesses are about, right? It's about people giving good service to customers. So they 100% want to protect and support them as much as they possibly can. That is sort of business critical to do. I think it leads on to a conversation around what external support they also need with that. And that comes with, how do we interact with the police? How do we get support from them with responding in particular to violent incidents in the store as well?
And has the report gone as far as to, you know, make some recommendations, some call for action, or have we got data? Yeah, you know, how far do you take it? Does this then dovetail into your day-to-day work and you take this and go and beat people with it and say we need things to happen?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to beat people with it, but I suppose we're sort of connecting it as evidence for action. I mean, okay, we can sit there and sort of redefine the problem. But actually what we're trying to say is, right, this evidence and information at both a local level and national level is something that we need to act upon. So there's two sets of recommendations in the report we've made this year. One set to government, to the Home Office, the Ministry of Justice, to think about what they can do centrally, and another set to police and crime commissioners, who in the UK, or at least in England and Wales, they set the priorities and budgets for police forces across the country. And we really want them to pick up pick up this issue and take it on. And I suppose I'll start there with police and crime commissioners, really, because what I would say is that we've made a lot of progress in this space, not least in how much people are aware of the problems that of retail crime and violence that we're facing. It is a conversation that you're more likely to have day to day, and people be aware of it. But also in the progress we've made of raising the profile of this issue in policing. So just this year, we've had the National Retail Crime Action Plan launched. It's a document that really sets out exactly what the sector wants. They want a greater police response to these incidents, particularly where violence is involved, and a bit more of a kind of guarantee around what kind of response they will get from police. That's great. That's a brilliant starting point. But at the minute, that document is just a document. And I suppose one of our ambitions is for police and crime commissioners to say, I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it in my police and crime plan. I'm going to ask my chief constable to actually make sure this is an operational reality for police. Where there is violence that has happened, we will have you will have a response from police, and you'll follow up and you'll collect CCTV, get those specific offenders. So I think that's a key starting point for us. How do we make an operational difference? And for us, that starts with police looking at their operational response to retail crime locally.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you make a really valid point there, that the police and crime commissioners do set the priorities for their region, and they're really important people to get in front of and get on side. And it does feel as if one by one, they've sort of, you know, become converted, if that's the right term, to the significance of this, and that something needs to happen. But from and then in terms of what you're recommending to government, so the government recommendations for this, but yeah, you know, is there any specifics that you're calling for there, opposed to, or is it kind of more awareness, or is there actual, we would like to see X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, so there's some particular things we'd like the government to pick up on, and some of these will be consistent to what you've heard before. So the real focus around tougher penalties for attacks on shop workers. We think a standalone offence might now be necessary, and there'll be more stuff coming up in Parliament where we'll be debating that soon. I think the second area is around more police resource, or at least focusing police resource better in neighbourhood hotspots. So where there is evidence to suggest that a high street has an issue or a neighbourhood parade has an issue, we just need to think about how can we get the police resource there. Because I think in reality, the pressure on police means it is tough to be able to respond to everything, but we need to really be able to focus it in the areas that need the most support and be very data-led on that. And the final area, which I think is really interesting area for the future of some of what your listeners will care about in terms of security for retail environments, and my members care about, is around innovation, particularly around technology. So we're saying, how can we help businesses and the police connect better, and particularly share information that will help them be more productive and focus on responding well? And so we want the Home Office to coordinate that. But I think one really interesting thing that only for the sort of policy geeks might be aware of, like me, was somewhere deep buried within the budget by the UK Chancellor was a £230 million innovation fund for police to look at how they can use AI, how they can use. And I've asked the minister directly how the retail sector can leverage that to be able to use some of the great investments my members make in those spaces already to connect with the police, so we can all work together to tackle that. So I think the innovation and the use of tech is quite a really exciting prospect in this space as well.
There you go. The cat is now out of the bag. You spotted that north of 200 million hidden in the budget. But I think it's a you know, fascinating line on the budget that's in there. I guess we've got to be reassured that government and the police have realised the benefit of that. And then I guess people like yourselves have to lead the charge and help industry understand how to tap into it and make use of it.
For sure. And I think a lot of conversations around that are happening already, right? There's lots of retailers with really good systems and lots of police forces that want to take on that information so they can act on it. So it's making those connections and hopefully having a bit more resource behind that will really be helpful. But of course, it all comes back to the fact that we have good data to measure what's going on. So hopefully some of the information in the crime report around the theft, around the violence, around the robbery and the investment we're already making, we'll see that we are really focused on addressing this issue.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. Ed, thank you so much for taking the time to join me this week and to run through what's going on. Absolutely fascinating. Please do continue the good fight. Clearly there is, you know, progress being made. But for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Paul.